This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly old permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can.
Coming your way in 20 minutes, Tim Tebow is going to join us. Yep, we'll talk to Tim. His thoughts about the expansion of the college football playoff. I also want to ask him about NIL, name, image, likeness, and what he thinks about that and what he thinks he might have been able to earn back in his glory days in Gainesville. And as you know, I've been critical of his tryout with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I've been absolutely critical of the Tebow fan that insisted to me that he would make the team, that I was going to look like a stooge, that I just hated. I was a hater. And in reality, I was right. He wasn't going to make the team. He was never going to make the team because he was in his 30s, years removed from football, having never played the position, and it was a favor done by Urban Meyer. And yet all of the Tebow sycophants came after me and wanted to railroad me like I was just a hater. How could you be so sure, DA? You watch. He's a gamer. He's a competitor. You're wrong. You're an idiot. And ultimately, I was right. He never even made it to the final cuts. And I never heard from any of these Tebow supporters again. So I will ask Tebow about this. Look, I didn't have a huge problem with Tebow trying out. He was chasing his dream. That's his dream. I had a problem with everybody who kept insisting that I was just a hater because I called it exactly out how it was going to go, even though it wasn't the warm and fuzzy story that people wanted. It was the unfortunate truth. But I also did think it was done as a favor and that job, granted it's only the fifth string tight end, but that fifth string camp invite is usually and more valuably used on somebody who's a young tight end who's got potential upside, might be really raw, and you're trying to develop him into something, find a diamond in the rough, or a veteran who's been around the block before that can teach young guys something and can be some type of dependable piece, specifically on special teams. Tebow was neither one of those things. So I'm going to be honest with him. I have to because, look, it's not fair for me to badger Tebow or Tebow fans about this tryout for months and then have them on and play, you know, patty cakes. That's not fair to you. That wouldn't be ethically right. So I've got to be transparent, and I don't want to be a phony, so I will ask Tim about this. I'm not going to sandbag him and do the whole interview on how I didn't like the tryout, but I will ask him about it because that's my job. So this week, The Tennessee Titans are hosting Houston Oilers Throwback Week. They are hosting former Oilers players. Their Twitter profile is the old Oilers logo. And this is supposed to be like old home week for players that played before the Titans moved to Tennessee and now don't have a home. And it's a weird situation that former Oilers find themselves in because they didn't play for the Texans and they didn't play for the Titans. But there are some really great former Oilers that were all-timers that don't really have a home. Warren Moon was an Oiler. He wasn't a Titan. Elvin Bethea is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame as an Oiler. He wasn't a Titan. Billy White Shoes Johnson, Haywood Jeffries. There are great players that played in Houston only as an Oiler and never was a Titan and never was a Texan. The Texans haven't absorbed these players, and maybe that would be the right thing to do. But again, Warren Moon wasn't a Texan. He played in Houston. So what to do? Well, the Titans have carried over their Oilers retired numbers to Nashville. I went to a Titans game a couple of years ago and noted that it's kind of rough around the edges, a little high school-ish, but they do have some retired numbers and names around the upper bowl, and those are some Oilers names in there. But the Oilers players have never felt like they had a home. And since Bud Adams passed away, and now his wife, Amy Strunk, has taken over, she's done a much better job connecting with that team and those old players, and they feel like they finally have a homecoming and a home. And so they're going to be all around Nashville this weekend, and they're going to be celebrating the fact that Bum Phillips, Oilers head coach of the 70s, is going to go into the Ring of Honor. So there's some of this I love. There's some of this I really don't like. Number one, Mraz, what I don't like is they picked the Colts coming into town as the game. Isn't the natural tie-in to have the Titans come into town? I'm sorry, the Texans, and do Houston's in town playing us and we're your home? Why would you pick the Colts game to do this? Pick the Texans, you have the natural Houston tie-in.
Yeah, my only question would be, are they trying to respect the Houston fan base that the franchise left the city so they don't want to rub salt in the wound by throwing their helmets and jerseys up against their franchise now? And therefore still give it a division rival flavor? That's the only thing. If they actually had the conscious effort to say, we don't want to tick off the fans in Houston, they did lose this franchise.
Well, I think that you're ticking them off by doing what you're doing. By absorbing their old heroes, you've already ticked them off, so you don't care. So I think maybe it's just that this fell early in the season. Weather's good, more of a party in Nashville. Whereas when the Texans come to play, it's November. It's November 21st, so weather could be crummy. It's just less festive. That's my guess, because it just feels like the natural time to do this when the Texans are in town. The second part that I don't like about this is you change your avatar to the Houston Oilers logo. Your entire website's about homecoming for the Oilers, old retrospectives on the Oilers. And I love this. I mean, they put old videos of Bum Phillips and Elvin Bethea and Warren Moon on their Twitter feed and posted it on their website. But they're wearing the Titans uniforms. So if you're going to do this to me, you got to throw the retro unis on. And I know that there's the double shell thing and you can't do the two helmets. Maybe until next season they'll do it. But you can do something on your jersey, like an old Oiler Derek on your jersey. Or you can, if you wanted to, put the Oiler Derek on the helmet with the dark blue background. Maybe that looks weird, but you can fashion it to wear something on your jersey. Like, have an alternate jersey that's powder blue. You're right. Allowed to do that.
You can do what a lot of, like, baseball's done, too. Make a fake alternate, right? Like, make it as if it was a reverse retro where if the Oilers were playing today, this is what the uniforms would look like kind of deal.
You're allowed to do that. You can wear as many jerseys as you want. You just you can't have different helmets.
Exactly.
So it's like they're doing it half-assed a little bit. I love the idea that they gave these old guys a home because these old guys have said all week long, this is great. We've been embraced by this organization. We were homeless as former athletes. We don't have a team to gravitate to. We don't have reunions to gravitate to. So I love that. I love respect going to guys that played this game at a high level and now feel like they've got some place to congregate. What I don't like is doing it half-assed and being like, oh, we're going to change our avatar. Well, that doesn't cost anything to change your avatar.
Right. Schwartz does it every time he breaks a hip.
So that's the only part that bothers me. But by and large, I like because I don't think they're Texans, right? I mean, who is Warren Moon? Warren Moon's not a Houston Texan. I guess he's a Titan.
I don't understand, though, for the life of me, why this wasn't a Cleveland Browns situation to begin with. Like, why, when Houston got a team back, couldn't they buy out the Oiler franchise name? I don't understand why this couldn't have been resolved years ago.
Well, so you mean before the Texans ever became the Texans,
right?
Make them the Oilers.
Right, and I get it that the Tennessee Titans were the Oilers. That is their franchise. It came from the same ownership group. They weren't going to look to give up that history. But everybody has a price, right? The city of Houston, I mean, there could have been a price to buy out getting these naming rights back, and then the Texans would have something to stand on because you wouldn't be the Texans. You'd be the Oilers. None of this would be going on.
My guess is that the Browns were such a source of civic pride that the idea that any Cleveland team in the city would not be called the Browns, and the history is so long with old championships in the 50s and Otto Graham and Jim Brown, that the idea that that would be absorbed by a different franchise like the Ravens was too much to stomach so that the NFL felt like they had to do it. I think for the Oilers, there was a lot of heartbreak, a lot of misery, not a great history, and that probably in Houston, they just felt like, you know what, we'd rather restart. There was probably a lot of baggage that came with the Oilers. Remember, they were the Tennessee Oilers as well for a couple of years before they became the Titans. I think the city of Houston, the ownership with the McNairs, probably just said, you know what? We want a fresh start. We get to rebrand ourselves and didn't want it.
Yeah, then the fan base in the city can't be going nuts this week. That is the franchise. Your franchise relocated. That franchise is going back to its roots. Then as far as I'm concerned, you don't have ground to stand on. My assumption is if an NBA team goes back to Seattle, they're going to be named the Sonics, no?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, that would be awesome, but some new owners spend $1 billion. They want to brand it themselves.
I guess, but is there any better branding than bringing back the Seattle Supersonics? So I just feel like this should happen more often when teams are relocated. And that would never happen if Oakland ever got a team again. I understand that. But still, it just seems weird to me.
I think if you're the Houston fans, it is true. Unless the Texans reached out and did this for the old Oilers, you can't be upset. Like, this is up to the Texans to say Warren Moon and Elvin Bethea and Billy White Shoes Johnson and Haywood Jeffries and Ernest Givens and all of those guys, you are part of us now. The moment we began playing football as the Texans, you're a Houston football player, you're an NFL icon of the city, you're ours. If they didn't do that, you can't then blame the Titans for doing it. And that's a little weird. Like, Houston sports fans, Texans fans are like, you can't take the Oilers avatar. You took the team away. Yeah, well, if your team didn't absorb the Oilers logo and you didn't keep the records and the players, like, it's open season for the Titans.
Right. Are the Texans bringing back old Oilers every chance they get every year to flip coins and do whatever else? No, they're not. So relax.
It's a weird thing, though. So it's going to be old home week, but they're not going to wear anything that reminds you of the Texans, of the Oilers, rather. Which is a shame, because weren't the old Oilers powder blues beautiful?
They are, but also they got to be setting up by having this week when they're able to do that starting next year to do this.
Right.
So make it a thing. Every year you have Oilers week, and going forward, you'll be able to wear those uniforms.
One thing that was real weird in this kind of same realm is when the Carolina Hurricanes had Hartford Whalers week. Right, and they wore the Whalers jerseys last season. Wasn't that really odd?
Yeah, and I think it was more than a week. I think it was a couple other times. But to be fair, their own fan base, a lot of transplant Northeasterners, were clamoring, hey, you don't honor your tradition. You were the Hartford Whalers. Go back to it. So it was public outcry to get them to do this that forced them to do it. It wasn't like they were just like, ha-ha, Hartford, we're taking the Whalers and we're going to put the jerseys on and sell a few.
Really? So Hurricanes fans in Raleigh wanted old Whalers games?
They absolutely did. As, and you'd be surprised, I'm sure this is minimal, there are plenty of a very, very small vocal fan group up in Hartford that travels down to go to a Hurricanes game a year, always wearing their Hartford Whalers stuff, out of respect for that being their organization. So hockey fans are just cut from a different cloth than football fans in that regard. But yeah, there was a big time clamoring for the Hurricanes to do that. In fact, many would argue it took them too long to do it, so they would think of it as the opposite of weird.
It would be really cool if the Titans had, right from the start, woven some part of the Oilers into their logo. And I know that they had some baby blue in their whole uniform set for a long time, but they really kind of like pussyfooted around it. Like, they had powder blue, but they wouldn't really acknowledge that it was like the Oiler blue. And they added so much other stuff to the uniform. They did have the white helmets with the dark blue trim, like, you know, but it was never a full on we're honoring the Oilers. And if like the Tennessee Titans logo had some type of nod to the Oilers, it would be so much easier to accept this. But they really distanced themselves after they became the Titans, it felt. And so it would be easier to accept then, but unfortunately not the case. Did you see this stat that I guess Kat passed along in our chat about the Adam Gase after effect? This is unbelievable. So last night, Sam Darnold has himself a great game. 300 yards passing, 2 rushing touchdowns, and the Panthers win easily on Thursday Night Football over said Texans. And it's like, yeah, of course, Sam Darnold's no longer with Adam Gase, and so he's now going to play great. And Kevin Clark, who's an NFL writer, tweeted, "You think that this Gase thing is just a funny little meme because both Ryan Tannehill and Sam Darnold improved post-Gase, but remember that also the Broncos won the Super Bowl immediately after he left, and that LSU won the national championship immediately after he left LSU in 2002. And Adam Gase's high school football team won the state title the first season after his graduation. So the year after he graduated, his high school team won the state title. He's at LSU in 2002. They win the national title in 2003. He goes to the Broncos. They win the Super Bowl immediately after he leaves. He leaves the Dolphins. Tannehill becomes a really good quarterback. He leaves the Jets, and Sam Darnold turns into a great quarterback as well. I mean, Mraz, the evidence is clear here.
It is, and this is maybe the only argument that Adam Gase could possibly have, D.A., is he spent 3 years as an offensive coach for the Detroit Lions, and the first year he was gone, they went 0-16.
Is that right? So Gase left and they got worse?
Yes. That is his only feather in his cap. So if everybody plays the LSU, plays the Dolphins, plays the Jets, the Tannehill, the Darnold, maybe this high school stinks that he's coaching for now. He was 2 years an offensive assistant, 1 year a quarterback coach, 2005 to 2007, left, went to the 49ers, the 2008 Lions went 0-16.
Oh, man, it would have been such a better story if Adam Gase coached the 0-16 Lions and Orlovsky backing out of the end zone. Wouldn't that be just perfect?
If he happened to be that quarterback coach when Dan Orlovsky ran out of the back of the end zone, that would be perfect. Unbelievably perfect, but he was not. So I'm not trying to defend Adam Gase. I was just doing a deeper dive into every place he left. But Adam Gase's only defense for teams getting worse is, hey, the 0-16 Lions, I was out right before they went 0-16.
So Tim Tebow's had to reschedule to next hour. He had to push it back to next hour. We're going to have him on the show, okay? So he's actually going to join us 1 hour from now. So sorry about that, but he rescheduled on us. And so coming up here next, Mraz will have his up the gut picks, okay, and his football food of the week. After that, later on in the hour, I'm going to give you my Wizard of Odds picks for college football, and I've got an NFL one in there as well. And then next hour, Tebow will join us. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Puffiness with football. Moraz gives you his NFL picks every week. It's Up the Gut, only on the DA Show.
A pair of 2-1 weeks, says Moraz, sitting well at 4-2. Remember, you can always listen to the DA Show in podcast form. It's DA On Demand, plus it's the PGP. Just go to your favorite podcast platform and search the DA Show and subscribe for free. All right, Moraz, we begin with Cardinals at Jaguars, a game that America simply cannot pull its eyes away from. Cardinals are favored by a touchdown on the road in Jacksonville. You like Arizona laying 7.
Yeah, normal circumstance, a team from out west, traveling east coast, early time zone, that kind of deal might scare you away from laying these points. And frankly, the fact that Kyler Murray and the Cardinals found themselves within a shanked 36-yard field goal away from losing to the Vikings at home should scare me enough, too. But Kyler Murray's making a ton of plays offensively, and this Jaguar defense, I just don't understand how they're going to slow them down. Urban Meyer now for the second time has told somebody, it's like playing Alabama every week in the NFL. This team seems completely unprepared. On the flip side, for Jacksonville's offense, as good as Arizona's pass rush has been, think about this, Trevor Lawrence, DA, struggling to move the ball. According to Advanced Stats, Pro Football Focus as well, no quarterback has been as off target with throws through his first two starts since next hour's guest, Tim Tebow. That's not exactly company you want to be in for the number one overall pick.
Gosh.
Lawrence has a long way to find himself. I don't think he does it versus pass rush. Now, again, the number's big. Connor Green picked this game an hour ago. He had it at 7.5. My book has it at 7. I might buy the point down, half a point down, get it to 6.5, make sure a touchdown covers you nicely. However, I'll still lay the 7 confidently, assuming the Cardinals are going to score a ton of points and the Jags just can't.
So wait a second. Give me that Pro Football Focus stat again, that Trevor Lawrence is the most inaccurate quarterback since Tim Tebow.
Basically, I think the stat goes back the last 15 years. Through the first two starts to an NFL career, no quarterback's throws have been more off target, yardage away from the receiver, inaccuracy, in their first two starts since Tim Tebow's first two starts as an NFL quarterback.
You know, if Trevor Lawrence looks awful all season long, that could be reason to get rid of Urban Meyer from a Jaguars perspective after year number one.
He's had a fantastic drive in each of his first two games. I've watched a lot of the Jaguars, but outside of that, it's been a lot of deer in headlights. And think about this rookie class. We're joking about Zach Wilson and the 4 picks. He still hasn't been as more off target than Trevor Lawrence has been. Just fascinating. Davis Mills looked better last night than Trevor Lawrence has looked.
Davis Mills has a lot of Mike Glennon in him.
I knew the neck was going to get you. You love that neck.
By the way, Thursday night football is just killing us here. Texans, Panthers last night, and then they did the promo for next week. Jaguars, Bengals. Talk about just bashing us over the head with a frying pan.
And they got Giants Washington out of the way, two teams under 500 last year, by the way, last week. That's a lot of money in that TV package, DA. All of these games have one thing in common. Fox themselves has not jumped in on Thursday Night Football yet. It's been only NFL Network. So you know when Fox gets in, they said, now you give us the good games.
And is that because every team has to play on Thursday night once?
Yes. Yes. Think about it. You have now 17 weeks of Thursday Night Football instead of 18 weeks. And actually, two teams will probably play twice, because that opening Thursday night game doesn't necessarily count because you're not coming off short rest. But there's only 32 teams. At some point, every team is going to have to appear on Thursday Night Football. So when the NFL Network has games on their own, the TV partners say, okay, you're run by the NFL. You take these garbage games on Thursday Night Football, and we get the good teams playing later in the year on Fox.
So these are about checking boxes and getting these teams off of the Thursday Night TV package immediately.
While they're still relevant. The games are relevant.
Giants and Washington, get them out early. Carolina, Houston, get them out early. And then Bengals, Jaguars next week.
Yeah.
I mean, oof.
Nobody's eliminated from playoff contention those first 5 weeks. You get them out of the way early so Fox isn't stuck with a bad game late.
Okay, Seahawks and Vikings. Seahawks coming off that brutal loss at home, choking away a 2-touchdown lead over the Titans. They're in Minnesota, and Seattle is laying 2 points. Mraz likes the road Seahawks.
Yeah, this is a sucker's play, and I'm going to be a sucker here. Dalvin Cook is injured. That's the word out of Minnesota. His ankle is banged up, and they appear ready just to keep running him into the ground because it's the only way they can play football right now. Their defense, atrocious, shredded all game long last week by Kyler Murray, but they were able to move the ball and score points even through the air with Ned Flanders, Kirk Cousins. Now they come back home. Think about this emotionally if you're Minnesota. You come back on the Bengals after being down big in week one and then lose in overtime. Then last week you do everything you can on the road versus a team everybody thinks can go to the playoffs on the Cardinals and lose because your kicker can't make a very makeable field goal. That has to be emotionally devastating. Now they get the Seahawks coming in with a little bit of an edge. Russell Wilson and company ticked off. They blew that game and lost to the Titans a week ago. I don't love the Seahawks defense in this spot. I think there's the potential for a lot of points. The over is something to consider here. But since the spread is so little, you should ask yourself, do you think the Seahawks will beat the Minnesota Vikings? The spread is sitting at 2 and sitting at 1.5. If you do, and I think most people do, how do you not take the suckers play and lay the points? And that's exactly what I do here with Seattle.
And finally, the big one, Packers and Niners this weekend in Santa Clara. The road Packers, +3.5. Mraz is rolling with Aaron Rodgers off that Monday nighter against the Lions, getting 3.5 points.
Yeah, and if for no other reason, as much as the Packers have been spotlighted here and they didn't even look themselves, despite what the final score may indicate, or maybe that is who they are versus the Detroit Lions a week ago, you're talking about 6 bad quarters of football for the Packers before that second half explosion with Davante Adams. The problem here when they go to San Francisco, and I know everybody looks at that defense, is that's a problem for the Packers. That's a mismatch. And the Packers slowing down the run game. Connor Green alluded to this last hour. 49ers so banged up at the running back position. And Jimmy Garoppolo has really struggled through 2 weeks. You know, the Lions is one thing going up and down the field on him. Last week, even after Brandon Graham went out against Philadelphia, Jimmy Graham was missing wide open receivers. Brandon Ayuk hasn't been able to get going. The 49ers, if they had any more cachet or star power the way the Packers do with Aaron Rodgers, we'd be saying what's up with them even if they're 2-0 because they haven't looked right at 2-0. I think Green Bay gets revenge from a couple years ago, and I think Aaron Rodgers a little wink and a glare at the 49ers that they weren't able to figure out a trade for him, and the Packers go and win this game outright. I'm getting points. I think the Packers are the better team. I'm going to take them.
We need Jimmy Garoppolo's electrician dad back on the show to talk about what happened in the first couple of weeks. Mraz's picks, Cardinals laying 7, Seahawks laying 2, Packers getting 3.5. Finally, the always undefeated football food of the week. And just off the top, I like the title of these.
A1 Steakhouse Sliders, DA. I don't know what's going on with me. Maybe it's my own pregnancy cravings. I am in the mood for some good burgers this weekend.
Pregnancy cravings?
I always have cravings. I'm going to blame it on the fact that I've been stressed out waiting for this baby to be born after I thought it was going to be born 4 days ago. Okay. She was going to be born, I guess. Bottom line is this. I am hankering for burgers, DA. Absolutely hankering. So why wouldn't I combine that with my football love this weekend? Look, get your favorite blend of chopped meat, maybe a little brisket blend. Whatever is your choice is going to work here.
Oh.
Caramelize a chopped onion. Get a couple packets of sugar, the butter there. Get the onions caramelized. Grab a bottle of A1 steak sauce. I happen to love it. It's my favorite steak sauce. You're going to get in there with your hands. You know, the typical egg combo with the chopped blend you have to strengthen up that burger meat. Get that sauce mixed in there and the already caramelized onions. Mix it all in there. Get all dirty with your hands. Make them into the slider size portion because guess what? You can have more without feeling your fullness. It's a good trick. The slider is a mental trick. You're going to grill them up. Maybe you want to saute them up in a pan, whatever you want to do. I would get some sharp cheddar cheese, some bacon, and I am very big on the King's Hawaiian slider roll. So once these burgers come off the grill, DA, you have the sweetness of the King's Hawaiian roll. It starts it off with your first bite. That zest of the A1 sauce punctuating throughout that burger. The flavor of the caramelized onion. The crunch of bacon on top. The gooiness of the cheese that is now melted over that slider. Who cares if your bets suck when your mouth feels more pleasure than it's ever imagined this weekend?
Oh, wow. This is a home run. You're telling me you're going to put bacon and caramelized onions on top of little sliders made with A1 steak sauce on King's Hawaiian rolls?
Yeah. Now, Diego, I'm going to mix the caramelized. I'm mixing them in that blend after they're caramelized. I want the onion throughout the burger patty. That's what I want.
Wow.
So you just got onion hanging out of your mouth like a seal, like Greg Flipper. That's what you want to do here. Let's go. It's week three. It's time to wake up.
Wow. These are a home run, Mraz. These sound delicious. Where did you get inspired on these?
Well, I told you I was in the mood for good burgers, and I looked around my refrigerator because I was thinking about making them two nights ago, and I saw I was almost out of A1 sauce. I said, you know what? I haven't had A1 with a burger in a long time. So what did I do? I went online. I looked through some different recipes, and I said, ooh, the caramelized onion's a nice touch. Ooh. This person added cheddar cheese here. I kind of did a conglomerate of different people's slider recipes. I said, this is what I'm cooking up this week.
Oh, wow. This has it all. I wonder, is bacon a little bit too much on these? Because they're little slider rolls. I mean, they can only be little pieces of bacon.
Yeah, well, that's it. You're going to cook up the bacon, but you're basically going to slice the bacon in half or quarters and just put a piece or two on. That's really there just for that saltiness and that crunch on top of what you're going through. If you picture almost like a guillotine going through a head, D.A., it's going to be your teeth going through the burger. It's going to start sweet bun, slide right through the gooey cheese into the, ooh, I'm going to get hung there on the bacon a little bit. That gets cut off into your mouth, and then that burger blend with the sauce and the onion goes through, and then you cool it at the end with that bottom piece of the bun. Your mouth experiences basically all elements of, I'm not going to say it, a sexual tension kind of word, and then you go through your mouth and you enjoy it like that.
Wow. Well, you can get the recipe and Mraz's picks and full breakdown of the NFL weekend as part of his Up the Gut column that's available at cbssportsradio.com. Any dates?
No dates. They're disgusting. And if the baby is not born tonight, I'm telling you, stop eating them. They're clearly not working enough. It's been two nights of this.
Okay, so one of our listeners brought this to our attention, that there was a study done, and a woman who ate a lot of dates actually gave labor on her own, a higher chance. This is from Rob. In a small study, I don't know how small, women who ate 6 dates per day in the month leading up to their due dates had a higher chance of going into labor on their own and had a higher cervical dilation when they were admitted. Now, I don't know if it works if Danielle just starts eating dates today.
Well, again, I don't know why her doctor told her this. I'm big on a big cervical dilation because that means less time in delivery. That's what I've learned. The quicker that thing dilates, the quicker the baby comes out. So if that means she's got to eat gross cricket nuts, then fine. Let's go. We need a baby to be born.
Cricket nuts.
I got to be honest with you. We hit happy hour and Friday hour. I might throw out the can of dates. You're waiting to take those again until Sunday night, sweetheart.
So this was pointed out from one of our other listeners yesterday. I changed it on today's read, but remember when I was talking about the early action on CBS between the Chargers and Chiefs and Burrow's Bengals and Big Ben Steelers, Mraz? I did this read yesterday and today, right?
Right. I did it Wednesday as well.
A listener pointed out that in the read it says an AFC Central battle featuring Burrow's Bengals and Big Ben Steelers.
Oh, wow. You're right. It's not the Central anymore.
It hasn't been the Central for 20 years. This was brought to my attention from a listener, and then Joe also tweeted in, you know, the best opponent for an Oilers weekend would be the Steelers, Bengals, or Browns, as they used to be AFC Central rivals. That's true. But can you believe our freaking copy department is citing divisions from 21 years ago? They changed the divisions in 2002.
What's fascinating about that is I would assume that the person writing that copy is a younger hire that may have never known the AFC Central existed. Like, Jody Mack still calls it the Pac-8 when he does interviews.
Right.
He has Yogi Roth on from the Pac-8 network. So That's understandable. A copywriter for CBS, you would think Young doesn't even know about the AFC Central.
Right.
The NFC North.
I mean, honestly.
I'm so tired of the sabotage. It's beyond. It's like once a month we have these oddballs in the copy, and it's like you got to fish through it. Why even send us copy? Make us write it, and we'll take care of it. You don't have to worry about someone else writing a copy.
Is there an old like grizzled 70-year-old in the CBS copy department that just is like, it's the Oilers and it's the Browns from the AFC Central
named Harry?
Or maybe it's done on purpose so that when you stumble on it, you do an extra read and discussion on it, and now you're more likely to watch the Bengals and Steelers on CBS Sunday.
You think it's a long play by the copy department?
No chance in hell.
Because now it's not just white noise. We've sat there and broke it down. Now it's in the back of your mind. Ooh, that's right. Burrow's Bengals play Big Ben Steelers Sunday.
It's Ken Anderson and the Bengals against Terry Bradshaw and the Steelers from the AFC Central. Up the Gut was sponsored by 5-Hour Energy. It's the one when you got to get stuff done. Drink it in seconds, feel it in minutes, last for hours. Tastes great, too. 5-Hour Energy. Mr. Bogish has our headlines. Good morning, Bogues.
Good morning, guys. We have mentioned this more than once this morning. It is good not being a Jet. It is definitely good not being coached by Adam Gase anymore. Sam Darnold, 3-for-3 now as the Panthers starting QB, winning Thursday Night Football in Houston with his feet.
Here's McCaffrey. No, it's a fake. Darnold keeps it and will score. Carolina leads 6-0 on the slick ball handling by QB14.
That's from Panthers radio. Darnold scored on another run to close out the scoring in a 24-9 win in Houston. He added 304 passing yards.
My job is simple, you know, when we're playing the way that we should. You know, I'm just going through progressions and with the way our offensive line blocked too, that it was easy to kind of stand in there and go through my progressions like I should.
That was Darnold post game on NFL Network. Tight end Tommy Tremble.
The Super Bowl with that sound behind him in Houston.
Tommy Tremble also ran one in as Carolina played the final three quarters without Christian McCaffrey, who injured a hamstring. They also lost rookie corner J.C. Horn to a broken foot. Texans rookie QB Davis Mills threw for 168 and a touchdown without a turnover, but again, produced just 9 points. The NFL Network reported last night we might get a Monday night wild card game in January. That would leave 2 games on Saturday and 3 on Sunday. And Giants O-lineman Nick Gates still in a Virginia hospital after breaking his leg against Washington last Thursday. More surgeries coming for Gates. Head coach Joe Judge said yesterday this might be career-ending, but Gates' agent says he'll be back on the field next season. We are just a few minutes into the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits in Wisconsin. Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth are one up through 2 holes with Jon Rahm and Sergio Garcia. Dustin Johnson and Colin Morikawa won their first hole with Paul Casey and Victor Hovland. Brooke Koepka and Daniel Berger about to tee off against Lee Westwood and Matthew Fitzpatrick. The Philadelphia Phillies apparently the best at this.
Here's the pitch. Swung on, hit well. Left field. Going back off or to the track. It's going to be gone! It cleared! Ronnie Torres has put the Phillies on top! He just snuck it over that left field wall! A pinch hit, 3-run home run for Ronald Torres, and the Phillies have an 8-6 lead.
Scott Fransky on Phil's radio, the Torres 3-run homer put Philly ahead for good. They were down 6-0. They beat the Pirates 12-6. They are the first team ever in the modern era to win by 6 or more after trailing by 6 runs in the same season. This rally gets them within 2 games of the Braves in the NL East. The Jays losing in Minnesota 7-2, dropping a full game behind the Yankees for the second AL wild card, and the White Sox clinched the AL Central with yesterday afternoon's win in Cleveland. And single elimination WNBA playoff action last night. The Mercury topped the Liberty 83-82 on a free throw with 0.4 seconds left, and the Sky took care of the Wings 81-64. Guys, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. When we come back, it's the Wizard of Odds. I give you my college football picks for the NFL weekend or for the college football weekend and an NFL pick as well. The Wizard is 6-2-1 on the season. Tim Tebow is going to join us 45 minutes from now. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm a what?
A wizard.
Who's the Wizard of Odds? It's DA.
It's the Wizard of Odds.
Wizard of Odds.
The odds are that you'll be a winner today. The wizard is here, make you feel okay. Hey, 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 hey.
All right, we are back with the Wizard of Odds segment here on the DA show. The Wizard is 6-2-1 on the season. Went 3-1 last week, and so let's kick it off again. I'm looking at a battle of the Lone Star State. Texas Tech at Texas tomorrow. Now, Texas Tech is getting 9 points. Think about this. The Red Raiders, in this matchup against Texas, 5 of the last 6 games in this rivalry have been decided by a touchdown or less. Texas Tech's offense has put up 38 points against Houston and 54 points against FIU. All Texas has done this year is gotten embarrassed by Arkansas and beaten Louisiana and Rice. Should Texas be a 9-point favorite versus anybody, let alone a Tech team that has scored 38 and 54 this season and a rivalry that's been a one-score game for most of the last decade? The answer is no. The answer is the Wizard says no. Okay, I'm waving the wand, and I'm telling you, Texas plus the 9 is the play here. We move on. Boise State, obviously, watched them in person last week, jumped out to a good start, 20-7 lead over Oklahoma State, but then it all fizzled. They didn't score a point in the second half. Just like what happened against UCF, they had a 21-point lead and blew that game as well. Boise State takes on Utah State in Logan this weekend, okay? That's at Utah State. And this is interesting because Utah State is one of the best surprises in college football this year. Utah State is 3-0, and they beat Washington State this season. In fact, Wazoo, gave them a Power 5 win. And they're averaging, how about this, 41 points per game. 41 points per game, Utah State. In fact, they're also averaging 563 yards per game. So it's a great offense for Utah State. They're at home. ESPN's FPI predicts that Utah State will win 8 or 9 games, a huge turnaround compared to last year. And wouldn't you know it? The line is Boise State by 9 on the road. Now, you're going to try to sell me that the Broncos have to emotionally rebound after last week being one of their biggest games of the year, go on the road to a team that averages 560 yards of offense and 40 points a game, and they're going to win by double digits? No way. Give me Utah State plus the 9. I love that line. I love that pick for you. The Wizard says it's all Utah State. Final college football pick of the weekend is Rutgers and Michigan. If you haven't noticed, Rutgers is far superior this year to their previous years. Now, I realize it's a low bar, but Rutgers is building under Greg Schiano and is no longer just a total pushover. And last year, remember, this game went to triple overtime. Last year, Rutgers lost 48-42 and had a chance to beat Michigan. Now, I know this is at the Big House, and so that makes things a little different. But Michigan also goes to Wisconsin next week. The one thing Michigan does really well is run the football. In the one Power 5 matchup the Rutgers Scarlet Knights have had this season, they held Syracuse to 67 yards rushing and only 7 points scored, and Syracuse desperately wanted to run the football. So Rutgers' run defense was pretty good in that game. I don't think Michigan's going to be able to run all over Rutgers. This line is 20.5. Give me Rutgers plus 20.5. Yes, I don't think they're getting blown out by 3 touchdowns. The Wizard says Rutgers plus 20.5. And we're going to give you a bonus NFL pick this weekend as well, okay? This one comes to us from our friends via BetQL. I usually take a look at their cheat sheet, their tip sheet, which is a betting analytics system. They run a ton of numbers, etc. And then I look and I kind of compare it to what my instincts are, my research says. Their five-star NFL value bet this weekend is the Steelers laying 3.5 against the Bengals. Steelers at home against the Bengals. They think Steelers will win by more than this. Pittsburgh has gone 29-16 against the spread at home when the total is between 43 and 49 points, and this total is lining up that way as well. So in other words, when you have a relatively low-scoring game and the Steelers are at home, there are 13 games over 500 against the spread under Mike Tomlin. I like this pick. I think the Steelers are not nearly as bad as we saw last week. I think the Bengals are really bad. I saw this at 3, so I'm jumping on it at 3. I love that. Try to find it at 3 instead of 3.5. That way you're safe if it's just a field goal game. But the Wizard says Steelers laying 3.5 against the Bengals. They're better than a field goal better than the Bengals. That's the NFL pick. And so your picks here from the Wizard this weekend: Texas Tech +9, Utah State +9, Rutgers +20.5, and the Steelers laying 3. It's the Wizard. And once again, I have a lot of this Wizard fur in the beard in my mouth right now. It's awkward because it's shedding. It's a very cheap costume I'm wearing. But I'm doing this for you. I'm a gamer. I'm swallowing weird white beard hair as I give you winners so that you can pay your mortgage. When we come back, we talk about the NFL's Week 3.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.